I guess we're just gonna go to the questions right now. So first off, Emily Teeter, what is your major and what is your year here on campus?
So I'm majoring in nursing. I'm getting my BSN through OHSU. I'm a junior currently, just started my junior year. It's been intense.
Yeah, I hear nursing is a lot of work.
Yeah, apparently not as much as the dental program, but...
Oh, really?
Yeah, it still is. It's very intense. There's so many parts to it, you know, and then you add life, just being lifey, and it can be a lot, but I'm enjoying it. I feel like I'm right where I need to be.
Good, so. Good. I know a few people in nursing, and from what little I know about it, I guess, it seems like your schedule is a lot less set in stone than some other majors. Is that true?
Yeah, so things do change quickly, and you have to be flexible in that aspect of things. As a parent, that makes it pretty hard.
Yeah.
I've also been pretty sick this year. My immune system's been shot, just overall, just stress, a lot of life factors. But yeah, your schedule on a whim can change. It could be, you know, we have to do this today or that tomorrow. But for the most part, our instructors and faculty, they really try to keep it as routine as possible.
Okay.
They give us quite a bit of tools and resources to adhere to a good schedule.
Sure. Yeah. Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you know, that's definitely challenging, but you said you enjoy it. Why do you... do it? Why do you want to go to school for this? Why do you come here every day to do that?
Well, first and foremost, my son, you know, is my biggest motivator. I want to show him that I can do anything I set my mind to and that he also can. I want him to grow up with confidence and security. So that's the biggest reason. However, I've known I've wanted to be a nurse since I was quite young. I've always had a very empathetic, altruistic personality. I like to help people with no expectation of anything in return. It gives me a purpose. So it's been really hard. My mother died in April of this year, quite random. Mm. And that threw a huge wrench in what I'm doing and made me really question my purpose in this program. So I've had to reevaluate why exactly I'm doing this. And ultimately, it's because I love helping people. I truly, just being bedside with my patients is, that fills my cup. That really gives me a lot of steam to just keep going every day.
Yeah, I respect that. I mean, I feel like that's as good a reason. That's probably about the best reason for anybody to be a nurse, I think. Yeah. I would hope that all nurses feel that way.
Yeah, me too.
So you mentioned that you have a son. Can you tell us a little bit more about your background and what you're doing outside of school right now?
Sure. So my son is 8 years old. He's almost nine. He's not my biological son. I've had custody of him for... about 5 years now. I've been involved in his life since he was born. My ex-wife and I had him together, and he's just been the light for me. He keeps me going. He's so funny. He's witty. He is kind. He's got tons of empathy. You know, in the midst of my mom dying, his grandma, there's been times where I've just really tried to be strong for him and ultimately not been able to do that, you know, been emotional or something. And he's seen me break down several times, and he too gets big tears in his eyes just from the empathetic fire inside of him. It's something that's so hard to explain, being a parent and the love you have for your kid. There's no words. I truly don't think there are.
Yeah. I wouldn't know, but I believe that. what surprised you as a first-generation college student?
Oh, man. So my college journey started back at Klamath Community College. I actually had dropped out of high school about, I don't know, 2 or 3 months before. I had all my graduation stuff. I was a student at Henley High School, supposed to graduate in 2008. I just a lot of life things happened, and it got me off on a rabbit trail. I spent 9 years just kind of bouncing through life. I don't regret it, because that's how I got my son. In 2017, I believe, 16, I went back to school to get my GED at KCC. And I was the first female graduate for their KSET program. It was their GED program. And then I immediately started college. And I decided I would just go part-time, because I really had no faith in myself to stick with it. I didn't know how I would fare as a student after not being in school for so long. I did great, and I was able to get my degree. It took a little bit longer than I had planned, but I was really proud of myself because I did it all on my own. I financially handled it. You know, my parents were very supportive. My mom, especially, just so encouraging all the time. You know, she would call me and check on me and kind of calm me down when I was spinning out over deadlines and, you know, exams, and I didn't get an A, you know, I'd get so mad.
Moms are good at that.
Yeah, she did a great job. So I graduated from there, and I applied to two nursing programs, the KCC and then OHSU. And it was so funny because I filled out the application the night before it was due for OHSU.
Yeah.
Typical ADHD, you know, neurodivergent student. And I just kind of, you know, as authentically and transparent as I could, filled this application out. It was a beast. So many essay questions, you know, very intimate questions too. And I only did it because I had promised myself I would at least apply. I really did not believe I would get in. This is a very rigorous program, and not very many people are accepted on their first application. Hardly anybody. And, you know, I call it the universe, the grand design, that bigger thing out there that kind of facilitates our synchronicity with the world. Something was pulling strings, you know, to get me in my first time when I applied just kind of in, like, a really irresponsible way.
Yeah.
So my college experience has been just a crazy ride. And I've learned so much about myself, about the world, about other people. It's been a huge blessing. Struggle at times, for sure, but
yeah,
definitely very proud that I could be the first generation to actually hang a degree on my wall.
Mm-hmm.
So I have an Associate of Science degree from KCC that, you know, when I walk in my house, I see it every time, and that's a nice feeling.
Yeah, good. I'm glad. And this, the nursing program is a 4-year program, right? So,
well, it's a 3-year program.
Oh, it's a 3-year program.
Yeah, but it's a bachelor's degree, so you come in as a sophomore.
Okay.
I'm in my junior year. I'll have one more year, and then I should hopefully graduate. But yeah, it's a very interesting program. You know, there's so many areas that you get to cover.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite enlightening.
Yeah, that's good. Do you know, let's see, do you know Gwen?
I do. She is in my cohort.
Okay.
Yeah. I love Gwen. She's a very smart girl.
I'm one of the service desk coordinators for housing.
Oh, very cool.
She worked with us last year.
I will say that one thing about being in nursing school is at my age, I feel a bit out of place.
Hmm.
I'm not the typical college age student. I'm 33, almost 34. And I've been through some life experiences that most people in this program probably haven't seen or experienced.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like an imposter, you know, that imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel, yeah, maybe, but in some ways, I imagine that gives you an advantage in some things, doesn't it?
So, definitely, and I just discussed that with my dean, actually, Dr. Rose. We were talking about just the different, the different benefits of being different ages in this program. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the younger students have that wit about them. They're fresh students. They just got out of high school. You know, times have changed in our education system, so maybe they have more tools and resources than I did.
Sure.
But then on the flip side of that, I have a lot of life experience. So I've had a lot of physical ailments, which has allowed me to know quite a bit of our pharmacology, just because either I've had to take it or a family member. So things like that. I've had a back surgery, so I'm like, oh, I know what that medication is or that, you know. It's really allowed me some, you know, just a leg up in things. And then vice versa. They have their own set of benefits and things that have aided in their schooling.
Sure.
So it's it's cool to kind of look at as a outside thing, you know, like that you can almost touch and move and twist and like look at the whole picture. It's just so philosophical in a way.
Yeah, I get that. And then how, just out of curiosity, how many people are actually in the cohort?
24, I believe.
24. Yeah. Oh, 24. Okay. That's larger than I thought it was.
Yeah. So it's 8 students to 1 instructor is the ratio. So we have to have 1 instructor for every 8 students for our clinicals and things like that. So there has to be a certain ratio.
Sure. Yeah. Makes sense. What is a common struggle that you notice among first year students, since we're talking about this? Not necessarily for first generation students, but just any first-year students that you notice?
Any first-year students, I think it is easy to become overwhelmed with all of the logistics of even enrolling, financial aid and all these documents and promissory notes. And, you know, you have an advisor for this, but you got to go here. And the registrar's office. I mean, I was so overwhelmed even just walking through the door.
Yeah.
It really takes a huge commitment to just stick with it, with courage, bravery, fake it till you make it kind of aspect. You know, that type of attitude, because, man, I could feel about an inch tall, you know, walking into a new school. That's truly how I feel every time.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. And I'm in the CSET program, and a lot of our instructors, particularly the ones that teach like the 100, 200 level classes, they're always like, you know, this is when you're filling out tax forms, you list yourself as a full-time student for a reason. Like, it's a job. Like, you have to dedicate a lot of time to getting it right. And that's not just studying. It's like what you're saying. It's navigating like the academia system, knowing where to go.
Sure.
Knowing when to sign up for things, what deadlines are.
Everything takes time.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, so when you're taking time to search for documents on, you know, maybe TechWeb or in the OHSU platform, or because I have dual enrollment, so I'm a student of both colleges. And when you're having to take that time to search for different things that you may need, then it ends up taking away from your schooling, your studying. It can pile up quickly.
Yeah, so, it certainly can.
Yeah. The other thing about just first generation, I will specify students, is for me at least, I had nobody to consult with. I had nobody to look to in my family like some other students do and be like, hey, mom, hey, dad, how'd you do this? Was this hard? Can you help me? My parents were never capable of helping me with my homework. Don't get me wrong. They were very, very, very smart people. Both were fairly successful. I mean, my mom worked for a state representative of the Oregon government. My father has had his own businesses and things like that, but neither one went to college.
Yeah.
And just even navigating the college system without having somebody to ask that was close was a huge challenge.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, and I know, you know, schools are always talking about like, oh yeah, you know, you can just ask your advisor all these questions. Oh. It's like, it's not the same thing.
No, and, you know, bless the advisor's hearts. Like, yeah, they are really trying, but it is so meticulous that even they have a hard time sometimes. You know, I've heard of many students taking unnecessary courses, and this was at my time at KCC, but just by accident, because we're humans and we're fallible. Yep. So it doesn't matter if you're the president of the college or the advisor or just a student, we all make mistakes. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, like, the same thing can mean two different things coming from different people as well.
Absolutely. So, perception is everything.
Yes,
so,
yes.
You know, my uncle, when he was out here it was in May for my mom's funeral, we buried her 2 days before Mother's Day, and he came out. It was her brother, and he explained to us younger folks in the family. He said, so you see this water bottle sitting on the coffee table? And we all were like, yeah. And he goes, well, we're all sitting in different areas. We all see a different side of it, right? We can all agree it's a water bottle. Sure. But I see a different picture than you do. And that just really resonated with me, because, like, perspective really is everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, it could be an advisor thinks that you're talking about this or that, and really you're way over in the left field, totally lost, you know? Yeah. So
yeah,
there could be a huge miscommunication.
Yeah, I've definitely been in advisor meetings where they're talking about, oh yeah, you've taken these credits, you got to take these, right? And I'm just like,
sure.
Yeah.
Whatever you say.
You're saying courses, yep. I'm kind of listening.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to take a little bit of a break here and I was wondering if you could play one song as a theme song for you when you walked into a room. What do you think it would be? Or like when you wake up in the morning, it's like your, yeah, I'm pumped song, that sort of thing.
Well, let me just tell you, my confidence in myself and my self-image is shot. So it wouldn't be a very enjoyable song. But, you know, there are some songs that I've really been hitting lately. One of them is Stiff Upper Lip. That reminds me of my mom so much. And that one gets me going. You know, some days when I just don't feel like I have anything more, I'll put that song on my way to school, and it gives me a little pep.
Yeah.
And off I go.
All right, good. Well, let's check out Stiff Upper Lip by AC/DC.
Yeah.
Well, I was out on a drive on a bit of a trip, looking for thrills to get me some. Now, all you ladies, I shoot from the hip. I was born with a stiff upper lip. Look it down in hell. Stiff upper lip.
That was Stiff Upper Lip by AC/DC. We were just talking about what music we like and stuff. You said you listen to all music.
Oh, man, I'm, like, totally eclectic, I think that's the word.
Yeah.
I mean, I listen to country, reggae, rock, rap, Christian. I mean, literally anything that just kind of, like, touches my soul, you know, when like a yeah. beat comes on and you're just like, whoa, okay, all right. And then you maybe don't even know the lyrics, like you listen to the whole song and you're like, I have no idea what it said, it just like that felt right.
Yeah, sometimes songs can speak to you just like instrumentally and yeah. by the vibe. Yeah, doesn't that's, necessarily have to do anything with the lyrics.
That's me.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's cool. I aspire to be like that someday. anyways, getting back into the more first-gen focus questions, I guess. How did you find your path in your chosen field in your job? I guess we kind of already touched on this. You really like helping, or you enjoy helping yeah. people.
Well, when I was about 14 years old, I saw one of my friends get hit by a car. Hmm. It was very traumatizing. He was laying there. I remember it vividly, and I'll spare you guys the details, but it really hit me. And I just was like, yeah, I started to become interested and kind of infatuated with the idea of like the medical field. And I was so young that I just dismissed it as another fairy tale kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I was about 20 years old, my mom was in an accident and she spent a month in the ICU at Sky Lakes Medical mm-hmm. Center. And I stayed by her side day in and day out. They wouldn't let me sleep there, but through the visiting hours and just watching the nursing staff, the medical staff, it really just clicked. I was like, yeah, this is where I want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that. Well, I mean, watching anybody get hit by a car, especially both of your friend and your mother.
Yeah.
How did you maintain a good perspective when life was getting tough like that?
Man, okay, I won't lie to you. You know, I've had my struggles with mental health. I'll be transparent. I take mental health medication. You know, I'm on an antidepressant because I've been through some things. I also lean into community support. I'm a part of 12-step fellowships. I have gone to church before. I consider myself spiritual, not religious. I don't like the idea of structured religion anymore. I'm more of a direct connection to whatever that bigger entity is. You know what I mean? I don't need a building with other people to connect to that.
Mm-hmm.
I've also just believed that there's purpose, that I have a purpose, and I want to put out waves in the world. And I want them to be good waves. And I don't know how far those ripples will reach mm-hmm. and how many people it may touch. So in my dark moments, I just really try to lean into the belief that there's still more. There's still more to come. And yeah. I'm still needed. So just got to stay positive, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I kind of also follow that same, I mean, stay positive type belief, but I guess for me, it's more like, okay, there's this thing that's really hard that I need to accomplish by this deadline. It's like, if I do this, or if I do it before the deadline and stuff like that, like, I'm going to feel a lot better than if I just don't even try at all.
Mm-hmm.
But
do you procrastinate until the very last minute and then get it all done in one night and then you're like, yeah.
Honestly, my thing is like, if there's something stressing me out, I have to deal with it immediately. I can't procrastinate, which I guess is a good thing.
That is a good thing.
But I
that is not me. Yeah, my ADD is like, no, hold up. You have this big, huge care plan that's due tomorrow and it's 25 pages. Yeah, sure. You should have started it 6 weeks ago, but you're starting it now. Like, that's me. And, you know, luckily I've fared okay. I got an A on that paper, by the way. It was like 98%.
Hey, whatever works for you. Yeah.
So then that kind of compounded the belief that I can procrastinate until the last minute and still do okay.
Yeah.
But I've excuse me, I've recently been given humongous compliments by the dean of my school, my faculty, I'm apparently very academically gifted.
Okay.
And I don't believe that or see that as much as other people, I think. But I do have a gift of procrastination and doing okay on my assignments, so maybe there's some truth to it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, some people just work best in the moment.
Yeah.
Maybe that's you. All right, well, it's about 12:29 here. Before we exit the show, maybe we'll play another song. But did you have any final comments or words, just anything you'd like to share with the listeners?
Yeah, I do. So, you know, every single one of us, we have a purpose. We have a meaning. We have a calling in our lives. And I believe that if we get in touch with that synchronicity of the universe, you know, whatever it is, that bigger thing, if it's the clouds for you or the wind or whatever, nature, you know, tap into the source and just believe in yourself. You know, that's the reason why I decided to do this interview, is because I just want to encourage people who feel like they come from a place that tells them they're not supposed to be here, you know, in this college setting, like that we're unworthy or not capable or we're out of place, you know, we don't fit in here.
Mm-hmm.
I want to shoot that down. You know, I want people to believe, yes, we can overcome the stigmas. I roll in smelling like cigarette smoke most of the time, and it just is what it is, you know, and I'm a little different, but I still have a purpose and a meaning, and same with all of the rest of you listening. You know, keep fighting the good fight. Keep up with it. You got a purpose and a meaning, and you're going to touch other people's lives, and that's what I want people to know.
Well said. Well said. Well, thank you, Emily, for being the first of our interviews this week for First Generation Students Week.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor. Sorry I've been so sick. My voice is very hoarse.
Oh, no, you're totally fine. We got great microphones. Yeah. Anything sounds good now. But, yeah, everybody else, stay tuned for today and the rest of the week. We got about 6 or 7 more interviews lined up.
Cool.
This one was recorded. We'll be posting it probably next week whenever I get a chance to edit it. And check our blog at ktec895.com for the interview schedule and for other things like when DJs are doing shows. This has been KTEC 89.5 FM Klamath Falls. Thank you for listening and have a good afternoon.